Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God, and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1, 6, and 7 of Psalter 114.
congregation the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and thereof, the second chapter beginning by verse 29. Acts 2 beginning by verse 29. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, beginning by verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus whom had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
We hope to remember in prayer Maite de Pewter, who has broken a bone in her shoulder. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, most majestic and most holy God, how can we rightly approach unto thee, who art sitting in thy greatness and in thy majesty and in thy holiness, and we have so little impression thereof? When we have heard that a solemn message in this morning hour, that we are not to take thy name in vain, oh, then give to us in these moments when we try to approach unto thee, give to us then a holy longings and holy desires. Give to us saving impressions in our soul of thy greatness and of thy majesty, that we would approach unto thee in a way that is fitting for thee. Wilt thou give to us a place of true humility under all our own guilt and all our own sin? For we are wretched and miserable creatures. Thou knowest the filth and all the corruption that is living within our hearts. Thou, in thy common grace, dost keep it from bursting forth from us. But, oh, that we would not have to appear before thee in that same way that we have been born. Lord, thou knowest each and every heart and each and every life. We are traveling on a great journey to meet thee. Oh, how many still in that same way that we have been born. For we are then traveling upon a broad way, and it leads to an everlasting destruction. But we are so satisfied upon that way, enjoying all the benefits that thou dost give unto us day by day in this world. A great prosperity in the midst of this world. The rain from the heavens and the sunshine day by day. Drinking in all the blessings that thou pourest upon us. And yet with our back turned unto thee, with no desire after thee or the knowledge of thy ways. how that our responsibility does increase day by day. And then a reading in thy holy word, and so careless yet upon our journey. O Lord, thou alone art able to make it different in the hearts of young and old. And we have heard it in the week gone by, how powerful that thou art, and that thou art able to break the hard and the stony hearts, and that thou art able to make a man to smite upon his breast, and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that thou mayst so do in the midst of us, young and old together. Oh, give us to experience that thou art still alive, and that thou art still the ruler over the whole universe, and that thou art stronger than the devil, who keeps us bound by nature in that state of spiritual death. And we, in such a union with him, no desire to come out of that death. O Lord, break thou then our stony and hard hearts, and wilt thou grant us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that we may begin in our life to weep in the places of our secret chambers before thee. Oh, that we would begin to miss thee, and that we could not do without thee anymore. And would it not be to thy honor and to thy glory? Oh, would it not be pleasing unto thee, O Lord, when we would be found upon our knees, and when we would be found crying and supplicating unto thee. Oh, would there not come place then for thy dear and only begotten Son? And would he not be so magnified and so glorified? Oh, Lord, do it then for thy great and thy holy name's sake. Do increase the number of thy kingdom. May it be from far and wide in the midst of this world, but may it also be amongst us as a congregation. We are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? Is thy Son not worthy thereof? Hast thou not promised unto him an inheritance that would seek him and would glorify him forever and forever? Oh, is he not worthy thereof? For all the labors that he has done in the salvation of his church. O Lord, art thou not worthy of this honor? And wilt thou not glorify the greatness of thy grace and of thy mercy in the heart of sinners? O take us then, each and every one, by heart and by hand, and wilt thou not let us go another day as serving the prince of this world and all the desires of our natural heart that are not able to satisfy us? Do use the callings that are coming unto us day by day, when once again another is laid in the grave, and when once again more families are cast into mourning. So many have been the callings that have come unto us. O Lord, remember all those that mourn, but bless also these ways, and the ways of affliction, affliction of the mind, affliction of the bodies. For thou knowest what is suffered by young and old in the midst of us. O Lord, that thou may give patience, and that thou may give also a place at thy footstool, or that thou may give a longing and a desiring and a hungering after thee, the true and the living God. Wilt thou supply for her that has had a small accident? Lord, thou knowest all the needs of her body. Wilt thou heal her once again? And wilt thou raise her up to go in and out? And supply for her also when she does live there alone? And that thou would be near and dear unto her continually? And wilt thou bless her with a portion for her own soul at this day and in the future? Lord, that thou may remember all those that are needy, and the afflicted and the sick ones in the time in which we are. And wilt thou give a healing for the bodies? And wilt thou supply in the needs of this life? For they are also many, crosses that are unknown unto us, that are borne by fathers, by mothers, crosses that are borne by husbands, by wives, crosses that are also borne even by children who have to experience already and the fruit of our sin, thorns and thistles, shall it bring forth unto thee? O Lord, that thou may remember our children and our youth in the days of their youth. O give them to see the vanity of this world. Give them to feel quickly and that it cannot satisfy the longing of their soul. O that it may be that they would feel how empty and how vain, as thy servant has written it over and over again. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. O give them then in the days of their youth, and that they may seek thee for that substance which is able to fill that empty soul. O that they may be given to experience something of the sweetness of thy word in the days of their youth, that may draw them, and that they may feel, that they may see, that there is a treasure in the heavens, and that this life that is but a vapor, and that it is but an hand breath that is quickly passing away, that they would not waste the time, the days of their life, seeking after that which cannot profit them. Wilt thou increase the number of thy truly sent servants to go in and out amongst the congregations, both in the established churches but also upon the mission field? Thou knowest the dearth, Lord, that thou may give in places where the elders are laboring week by week. Wilt thou give strength and support in all of those ways? But wilt thou also fill these places that the living word may be brought also there, and that thy truth also may be known, may be experienced by young and old together? Remember our teachers in our school in the few weeks that are still left, that thou may give them a strength to continue unto the end. And wilt thou fill them also with thy Holy Spirit? And when they stand in a most solemn task before our children day by day, setting before them a most serious example, which will be followed by our children throughout their whole life long, oh, give them then to experience how important that their work is, and that they may receive also a cry day by day unto thee, and that thou wouldst lead and guide in every moment. Remember then and bless the instruction in that place. Supply for us in the needs of the year to come, that we may receive instructors in the midst of our school, that may go before our children. Give that there also may be young men among us that may have a desire to learn to be instructors within our school, and that they may be given and not only the gifts to do that work, but also the desire to give themselves unto such an important labor. Lord, that thou may look upon our schools. Thou knowest all that Satan does bring against us in order to rob us of our children. Oh, that thou may give that old truth may be upheld, that it may be taught to our children, but that it may be experienced by teachers and children alike in the poor days in which we are living. Lord, that thou thyself may then go before us. And wilt thou look upon us as a congregation and all the needs and on all the cares. Help us, O Lord, as we stand in need of strength to bring thy word, that thou may remember us and give what is necessary in this hour, but also what is necessary into the future, that we may still be able to do the labors that thou hast sent us to do in this place, that we may yet be an instrument in thy holy fingers, that many may be born in Zion, and that thy children also may be instructed. Thou knowest where that they are even in this hour. Oh, could it please thee, O Lord, to look them up? And wilt thou lead them step by step unto Zion? And wilt thou instruct them in those truths that are so dear unto their souls? Oh, glorify thou thyself, forgiving all of our many, many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 140, stanzas 1 through 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Thank you. beloved congregation, for whom is an answer. An answer is for those who have a question. Is that not right? Do those two things not fit so well together? If we have no question, then we are not looking, we are not waiting, we are not searching for an answer. And an answer that is given, that is an answer that for us then has so little meaning. If it is the question of our neighbor, then the answer is also for our neighbor. Is that not right, boys and girls? Would you not say, then this or that friend of mine has received an answer to his question? But if the question is ours, then the answer that is also ours. Thus, we ask in the first place, is the question yours? Do we even remember the question? But more so, is that question our own? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Because last week, we said that this week, the Lord willing, we hope to speak about the answer. And this we hope to do out of the following verse, Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So far the words of our text. Peter's answer upon the question, what shall we do? First, repent. Second, be baptized. Peter's answer upon the question, what shall we do? First, repent. Second, be baptized. Men and brethren, what shall we do? That is an urgent question. Is that also for you an urgent question? Or is that only a question of our intellect? What is an urgent question? Children, what is an urgent question? You have them sometimes, maybe two. There is a great difference in our questioning. But you say an urgent question is a question that needs to have an answer. That is a question that we cannot just leave, but it is a question for which we will continue to plead, continue to look and to search for that answer. And so that is felt also here. And why is this such an urgent question? Because it is a question about life and death. Because there is a people that feel that they are condemned. Did we ever in our life have an urgent question? What shall I do concerning my life, concerning my death? concerning eternity, a question which kept us awake in the night, a question which made us seekers in the Word of God, a question which is bringing us time and time again to that house of the Lord, looking, waiting, asking, begging that we may receive an answer upon that question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Did you ever hear that before? We read that often in the Word of God. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That is a command. And that command that is coming unto the whole world. That is coming to the whole world in a general way. In a way of nature. Wherein they may see the goodness of the Lord. And so that the Lord is calling even through nature. That the Lord is calling men even through their consciences. The Gentiles, we read, having not the law, they are a law unto themselves. Their conscience bearing witness that is either accusing them or it is excusing them. And that is saying unto them over and over again, repent. That is a calling that comes in a more special way to the church, to those who are sitting under the Word of God, wherein time and again the Lord is coming by the voice of His servants, coming with that message that God, He is commanding all men everywhere to repent. That is hard work. That is hard work on the part of the servants of the Lord. Why? Because then they must speak unto persons who have no such desire. They are speaking to persons who are careless. They are calling out to persons who are going right upon their way. And who either inwardly or outwardly are mocking at that command of the Lord to repent. But here it is so different. And why is it here so different? Because here we have heard the Spirit of the Lord that has been working. And that Spirit of the Lord has been making room, first of all, for that message that the Lord has given unto His servant. Oh, do you think that Peter has not felt this? That there was now room in the hearts of this people to receive that message that he has given from the Lord? Oh, certainly Peter has felt this. And then the preaching that becomes in a moment a very easy work. Repent. What a blessed word. That word that is as music in the ears of this people. No, that is not as music in the ears of most people. That is not as music in the ears of the general population, even of the outward church. Why not? Because we have no desire to repent. Because we want to continue within our own sinful ways. Because that message, repent, when that would go with me through the whole week following, then it is going to be a burden unto me. When I want to continue walking upon that broad way, and that I am hearing that over and over again in the back of my mind, repent, repent, repent. But my heart has no desire to do so, then it is nothing but a burden unto me. But here this command that is a great wonder. And why is that a great wonder? Well, it is for this people. It is an opening. It is an opening for a people who were afraid that actually there was not going to be any opening anymore. They have cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And when they cried it out, they feared for the answer. Because it is very well possible, and they deserve that they have felt that answer was going to be coming, that there is nothing to be done anymore. Because they can see nothing but the wrath of the Lord. They have no idea what that they are able to do. And so this word, this single word, repent, that is as music to their ears. When we think of Esther, and she has gone in unto the king, and then what was her first fear? Well, that first fear was that king would not hold out to her that golden scepter. And when he did, were all her riddles solved? Were all her questions answered? You say, certainly not. And yet, just the holding out of that scepter that was for her a great, great encouragement. It was for her an opening. And she has perceived that opening. And so that is also with this multitude. And when they are asking, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then they are not hearing, there is nothing that can be done anymore now. But they are hearing that little word, repent. And that little word, repent, that is as balm in their wounds. Because what do they hear? They hear that it is not yet completely hopeless. They hear that there is yet a way. Oh, did you ever hear yet that little word, repent, and receive a great encouragement because of that little word? It is a declaration already to this people of the goodness of the Lord. It is enough already to break the heart of this people. It is already enough to give them a little hope. It is enough to draw that people unto repentance. To say, who can tell? Repent. What does that mean? Well, that means to turn. To turn. You know what that means, children? To turn. To turn, that is a change in direction, is it not? When we turn away from something. And when we turn toward something else. Thus, what is that repentance? That is a turning. That is a turning away from sin. It is a turning away from evil. It is a turning away from our past life. It is a turning unto God. It is a turning unto the way of holiness. What do you think? Do you think that that multitude thought that they were blessed thoughts? The thought of turning, is that a blessed thought to you? The thought of turning away from the world, the turning away from sin, and the drawing nigh unto the Lord, is that to you a blessed thought? That is a blessed thought to all to whom sin truly has become a burden in their life. Repent. Where does repentance begin? Repentance that begins in the heart. Repentance is a moral emotion. Repentance is an attitude. It is an attitude towards sin and sinfulness. Repentance that is an attitude toward holiness. What is our attitude? Repentance that is not sinlessness, but it is our attitude toward sin. That is sin in the deed, our attitude towards sin in the words, our attitude towards sin in the thoughts, our attitude towards sins of omission, towards sins of commission. Repentance, what is that? That attitude of the heart, that moral emotion that mourns over sin, that says with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It is that attitude that cries out under sin to be delivered from that burden of sin that says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Repentance that has to do with particular sins. That has not only to do what we call with the grossest of sins, but that has to do with what we would call the most minor, the smallest of sin indeed. There is a difference between sin and sin. But if you will ask those that are under conviction of sin, if there is any small sin, then you will have a little impression from their answer what that Spirit of the Lord is working to show a man what the nature of sin is, the evil of that sin, and then working further and further, not only with the particular sins, but to open unto a person what the sinfulness of their heart is. The sinfulness, the evil of their own existence, that they are not able to go through this world except in sin. Thus, true repentance that is making a man to blush before the Lord, true repentance that is making a man to smite upon his breast, true repentance making a man with Job to say, I abhor myself in dust and in ashes before God. But it does not remain there. That is, with that inner attitude. No, that is impossible. John the Baptist, he says, bring forth therefore fruits that are meet for repentance. Bring forth therefore fruits. That is, let that repentance that is living within your heart also be seen. Let it be evident in your life. And if it is true, that repentance, then it cannot be otherwise. Then we are not going to live out a life of sin in this world while our heart is grieving and desiring to be delivered from that same sin. Thus the fruits, what will they be? Confession. Confession. Before whom? Before God. The fruits of repentance. Oh, where is it? Are there children that are found on your knees in your secret? Do you have a secret chamber, children? Do you have a place to go where no one sees you? but the Lord, where you can pour out your heart unto God? Do you have a place where you can tell the Lord all your guilt and all your sin, and where you can ask the Lord to keep you from sin, and that the Lord would forgive your sin? Confession. Honest confession. That is to tell the Lord also the bosom sins that are living in your heart, and that you grieve over them, and that you desire to be delivered from them. Confession. Then it will also be before men, when they are public sins, that we desire that they be taken out of the way. Confession. Then it will be before one another. It will be unto our neighbor, whom we have perhaps hurt by our sin. The fruits of true repentance. What are they? Oh, there is not only confession, that is to say it with our lips, but there is also reparation. What is that? Oh, that is that we try to fix it again, that we try to make right what we have done wrong, that we try to make an amends for all that is possible because of our sin. The fruits of true repentance, confession, reparation. Is there more? Yes, there is watchfulness. That we do not sin again. What did the Lord Jesus say to that woman that was taken in adultery? He said, go and sin no more. What did Ephraim say? He says, what have I to do anymore with idols? Thus, repentance, true repentance, that is working also a reformation in our life, that is not a reformation that is just a show before other persons. Now, what did Paul say? He says, ye have sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Oh, are we careful in our life? Because a careful life, that is the fruit of true repentance. Repent. Repent of what? Repent of sin. What was their sin? We have heard it. You say that was murder. It was. But it was not only murder. It was murder of the Son of God Himself. And that was a special murder. That was a special sin. What kind of sin was that? Well, it was rejection. It was rejection. It was a rejection by the children of Israel. It was a rejection of their own king. It was a rejection of him whom God had prophesied of and had promised. It was a rejection of him whom God had provided, whom God had sent into the world, especially and in the first place unto his own people. They have despised him. They did not believe him. They did not believe in his Godhead. They said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. They mocked him. They said actually that he had a devil. That he actually had the prince of the devils, Beelzebub himself. They mocked his power. They despised his power. Being witnesses of that power as he went about raising from the dead, healing the sick, which they knew they were not able to do themselves, and which was confessed that this man, he was of God, for no other man can do these miracles like this man doeth. showing his power over the devil, casting out Satan. But they despised his power. They had no need for his power. They had sufficient of their own powers. They have despised him. They have despised his goodness. They have despised his mercy. They have despised his grace. And when he has gone about as a friend of publicans and of sinners, and they, well, they did not need him as such. Why did they reject him? Well, they rejected him in the upholding of themselves. They rejected him because of their own self-righteousness. They were a proud nation. They were the people of God. They would be honored among all the nations of the world. They would have no such king as such a humble man as Jesus. They did not need his righteousness. They had sufficient of their own righteousness. He had said, then you must decrease, but they wanted to increase. They did not want to confess their own poverty. And they would not confess their inability. And they would not confess their sin. And they would not come in humility before God and men. But now it became so different. Oh, how powerful! How powerful is that working of the Holy Spirit of the Lord to bring a man in the dust of self-abasement before the Lord. Did the Lord ever bring you also in that place? How powerful, because now their clothing that is rent, now there is sackcloth upon their loins, now there is dust upon their heads. Oh, then they see how evil that their sin is. Now they mourn over their sin. Oh, the Lord has made them indeed the chiefest of the sinners. And they do not know what to do. They fear that utter and that ultimate condemnation. But what does Peter say? Peter says, repent. Oh, he says, my distressed friends, you are now in a condition that is now liable to despair. You now do not know what to do in your need. You do not know what to do in your inability. You do not know what to do anymore with your guilt, with your filthiness, with your wretchedness. Then he says, repent. You have rejected him before. Oh, do not reject him anymore. Do not reject him now. No, not especially now. Do not reject him in your distress. Do not reject him in your condemnation, as if there is no hope. Repent, he says. Turn. Oh, turn from your sin. Turn again unto the Lord, for he will surely have mercy upon you. Oh, turn again, repent, turn from your unbelief, and turn unto faith, for he does hear the needy when they cry, and he saves their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, turn, 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 turn from your despair. Turn unto a well-grounded hope. Repent. Oh, no, do not continue to reject him anymore. Do not reject his power. His power now in your great need. When you find yourself powerless to deliver yourselves from that pit of hell. Oh, do not turn away from his mercy. Do not reject him in his ability. Do not reject him in his willingness. Because all that the Father giveth unto me, they shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us sing. The Psalter 440, stanzas 1 and 3. In my grievous tribulation, hear my cry and supplication. O my God, who hearest prayer, look on me in all my care. 1 and 3 of Psalter 440.
Thank you.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. Say, what is that? Well, our children know that that is a sacrament. That is right. Peter, he also speaks about that sacrament. And he commands them to be baptized. But that sacrament also has a meaning. Do you think that Peter, he commands them to use that sacrament irregardless of that meaning in a personal way? Surely not. And what is that meaning? Well, he declares that also. He says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The remission of sins. O congregation, how sweet that those words have sounded in the ears of this multitude who is standing there before him in their guilt and who are saying, Men and brethren, what shall we do? The remission of sins. Oh, that my guilt may be taken away, that I may be acquitted by my judge, that I may be delivered from that righteous punishment. Oh, the remission of sins, and that that burden may fall from my back. The remission of sins, and that the prison doors could go open, that I may receive once again my liberty. The remission of sins, that I may receive a right unto eternal life. The remission of sins, what does it mean to you? Or how is it with these words? Did you ever hear such words with gladness? Did you ever say, how sweet are these words to my mouth, to my taste? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thus, there is more. You say, more? Is there more than the remission of sins? Can there be more than the remission of sins? Yes. And there is need for more than the remission of sins. Only ask that people who are under true conviction of sin. If the Lord would now forgive, if the Lord would now take away all your guilt, or would that now be enough? Would such a people now be satisfied? Or they would not. And why not? Because though all my guilt is taken away, that still leaves me who I am. It does not change me. It still leaves me filthy. It still leaves me polluted. Thus, there is a people, they are looking for more than the forgiveness of their sins. What are they looking for? What are they longing for? What are they asking for? Well, they are asking to be renewed. They want to be changed. They want their heart to be changed. They want to be made into a new creature. They want to live in this world already without sin. Is that also the desire of your heart? Oh, then you see how when the Lord is coming, that He is bringing everything along. And when the Lord Jesus, from the right hand of God, He has sent out that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, to work in this people, then He is doing everything necessary for this people. And then there is nothing missing. And so Peter, he adds, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." For what? Well, that is for the renewal. You will receive Him as a gift. He will come. He will dwell in you. God Himself shall take up His abode in your heart. He shall tabernacle with you. He will cleanse you from all your sin. He will renew your heart. He will make you a new man. God Himself shall be your God. That will be beginning here already on this earth. Oh, what benefits, what blessed benefits the Lord is bestowing upon His people when He is bringing them by His Spirit in that dust of self-abasement. And where do they come from? Well, they come from a finished work. They come from the work of that blessed mediator. He has the right to bestow these benefits. For He has said to His Father, "I have finished the work that Thou hast given Me to do." And now He is given the right by His Father that He may bestow all these great benefits upon His people. Or is it any wonder that the Father says of His Son, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? Oh, did your heart ever say also the same with the Father, that you may concur with Him in the beauty of the Son? Because when He is revealing Himself to the eyes of such a convinced sinner, as we hear even in this chapter, oh, then they may see things that they have never seen before. They may see beautiful visions. I mean not visions that are not real, but they see a vision by faith. Oh, they see with new eyes. They see with spiritual eyes, because the Son of God, He is revealed unto this people. What do they see? Oh, then they may see by faith a crucified Jesus. Then they may see Him as the victor, hanging there in His humility. Then they may see Him as fulfilling all the requirements of His Father. Then they may see Him as satisfying the justice of His Father. Or they may see Him as putting away all the wrath, so that the Father, that He may be restful in receiving His children unto Himself once again. Oh, beautiful visions. Visions that will give to you peace and comfort in your heart. For one moment to see such visions, such beauties, they are more than all that you can experience here in this world. Oh, they are moments that faith that is going out to Him in love. It is seeking Him. It is believing in Him. It is going out. It is being drawn to Him. It wants to be included in Him. Faith that perceives the suitability of Him for their own case. Who has He hung there for? He has not hung for himself, nor his men. He has done nothing amiss. The thief did see it. The great suitability of such a Savior for such a one as I am. Oh, what do they feel? Oh, they feel that that scepter that is held out to them, they are desirous that they also may be given to touch the top of that scepter. What does faith perceive in that moment? It perceives the goodwill of the Father in sending the Son into the world for such as they are. And that goodwill, oh, that draws them, that goodwill that gives them a pull. And they find themselves, that they do not have to, as it were, to exert themselves, to exercise faith in Him, no, that is given unto them. And they find themselves in that moment basking, as it were, in the sunshine of the love of the Father, of the love of the Son, of the love of the Holy Spirit. What do they see? They see a breach that is covered over. They see that Son of Man, He is standing in that breach between God and their soul, so that there is nothing coming in between anymore. Oh, beautiful vision. Oh, restful peace for their soul. What do they see? They see a plain path. All the mountains of sin, they are broken down by that breaker, the Son of Man that has gone before them. Oh, they are cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Oh, how precious. How beautiful does that blessed Son of Man appear unto them in that blessed revelations of Himself, that they may say He is white and ruddy, He is the chiefest among 10,000, yea, He is altogether lovely. Oh, did you ever see Him? Did you ever see Him in your wretchedness, in your guilt, in your filth, in your pollution, in His great beauty? Repent and be baptized. Those are our twin graces, repentance and faith. They are twin graces. They go together. They are things that you cannot separate. Young people, we would like to say a word to you moment. Are you ever jealous of that people? When you may hear a little bit of what they may have, are you ever jealous? Is there anything that comes in your heart that you say unto the Lord in your heart now this day? O Lord, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, we hope that the Lord may bless you with desires. If the Lord gives you life in your soul, then there will also be desires that are born in your heart. But you know, we live in a confusing world. A confusing world. And I know that it is for you. Sometimes with the things that you hear all around you can be very, very confusing. And then there are people, they will speak to you about faith. About faith. And then you must listen. I hope that the Lord gives to you also a spirit of discernment. Discernment. Do you know what that means? Not everyone that speaks about the Bible is speaking the truth, you know. The Bereans, we read, they did not just listen, but they went to search whether those things were really so according to the Word of God. That is your responsibility. And you must not receive just everything you hear, because not everything that you hear is true. When you think about the Philippian jailer, and then he has also asked a question similar to this multitude. Then he has asked the apostles, "What shall I do?" And what did Paul say? He says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And now there are people, they will say to you, "Look, look, it's the word of God. You only have to believe." Does not speak there about repentance. Does that mean that Paul did not speak about repentance? Does not mean that at all. No, we say that that it was included in what Paul said. It was included. So how do you know that? You never knew Reverend Lamine because you are too young. But many years ago, my wife's grandfather used to bring him to different places. And he traveled once up from New Jersey to Ontario and picked him up. And they began to talk. And they were so involved in their talking that they drove 2 hours before that he realized that he was going east instead of west. You imagine how late that they were. It is a mercy if the Lord will stop us when we are going in the wrong direction. But congregation, how late is it? And how late will it become, young people? We do not know our life. But we get off the topic a little bit. We would say, he is going east instead of west. When you have been sitting, young people, in the back of that car, and you had realized that he was going in the wrong direction, what would you have said? What would you have said? If I would choose one from over here, then they will say, I would have said, you must turn around. That is good. If I will choose one from over here, you will say, I would have said, you must go west. That is good too, is it not? Does it make a difference what you say? You must turn around, or you must go west? Say, it makes no difference. Why not? Because you cannot go west without turning around. And you cannot turn around without going west. Those two things, they belong together. You cannot have one without the other. You can say the one, and you mean the other also, do you not? They are mutually inclusive, we say. They belong together. They cannot be separated. Why do we give this little example, young people? Because faith and repentance are such. Faith and repentance are such. They belong together. And you cannot separate them. They are mutually inclusive one of the other. And therefore, we say you must discern. When you will hear that there is speaking about faith, and there is no speaking about repentance, as if repentance is not necessary, then you must discern, you must listen, you must say there is something missing here. Can you discern? Can you hear when there is only something wrong? Or can you also hear when there is something missing? Faith and repentance. What does Paul say? He says, godly sorrow worketh a repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Repentance unto salvation. That is the only way. And it is not the only way. It is not only the only way. It is also a blessed way. The most blessed way. It is the way to the honor of the Lord. It is the way to the salvation of your soul and to receiving all of those benefits that have been merited by the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering and in his death. Oh, may the Lord bind these matters upon our heart to our eternal welfare. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us in that one thing that is needful? Oh, we need to be converted. How mighty the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, is that not what we are so missing in the days in which we live with our children? Oh, was it not what our fathers have experienced in their days? Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that we may also see it, that we may also feel it, and that we may also experience it with our children in our days. Oh, come then undeservedly from our side and work that great work amongst us and our children. Dismiss us with thy indispensable blessing, forgiving all of our many sins, and going with us in the week to come. And wilt thou help each one in the place that we are placed by thee in this world. Give us to be content with such things as we have, to seek the treasure that is above. And wilt thou watch over and protect each one from danger and accident, evil and sin. Remember those who hope to be united in this week, in that bond of holy matrimony. And wilt thou give them a good day together. And wilt thou be with us in traveling and also bring us safely home again. Give thy blessing unto the students to help them in their exams. And gladden thou us with thy deeds. For Jesus' sake, amen. 398. All the stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. What follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 398. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.